Welcome to the program for Thursday, November 15th, 2012 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today it's Industry Chatter in the 3 o'clock hour every Thursday at 3. My guest today is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions. Good to see you again, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Great to see you as well.
A lot going on since the last time we talked, especially in the areas in which your company specializes. Talk about what you do for the clients that you serve in federal government, Joe.
So our organization is focused on developing solutions for the federal government that are centered around virtualization for virtual desktop delivery, BYOD, or bring your own device for those who are interested in that these days. Also, mobility solutions in general, and continuity of operations or disaster recovery solutions for federal government.
Now, it sounds like those you're presenting them as four different things. Mm. They sound like they're all pretty much interrelated, and they all touch each other to some degree or other, and a lot of them pretty heavily.
They do. Most of these solutions are centered around the foundation of virtualization technology, or what a lot of people are using now is cloud computing environments to be able to deliver these solutions out to their end users.
Now, I detect a difference in the mobility climate, the thrust of the discussion since the last time you and I talked. There's a tremendous focus, obviously, on BYOD. And we talked about security the last time that you were here and the emphasis on mobile security and so on. But I'm getting a sense now that government is focused a lot more, maybe almost exclusively for the time being, on the cost equation and whether mobile devices and whether BYOD in particular will save them the level of money that maybe they thought it would or that they need it to now, given where we are budget-wise. What's the thrust of the questioning that you get from agencies when you talk to them about mobile solutions and BYOD?
Well, the first is always security, right? That's the first thing that's top of mind. Can we provide a functional environment for our users to work in from a BYOD perspective or mobility perspective and still maintain the level of security we want to maintain? The answer to that is yes. There are many, many technologies that are out there on the market today that we apply to these environments that provide absolute control down to, you know, file level of what people access, you know, from their mobile devices or on their mobile devices. There's also the second question is, you know, how can we use these technologies to save money, right? And as you said, there's a lot of cost discussions going on right now. I think there's a lot of good evidence that has been generated from the commercial industry around leveraging stipend programs to enable users to purchase devices of their own, and then they have to provide their own support and maintenance for those devices, and that providing an incredible amount of cost savings for commercial customers.
Those best practices that are coming out of the commercial sector too are happening at an interesting time, because my sense is that agencies are more receptive than they've ever been before to adopting best practices that they see in the private sector. Is that fair to say, do you think?
I think it is. I think a lot of that is due to the fact that there is such a cost-conscious air about the federal government right now, and that's driving them to look for innovative ways to reduce overall costs.
Now, when an agency talks about innovation, do they necessarily mean the same thing that somebody from industry thinks of when they think of innovation? Are you guys speaking the same language as the agencies on that, do you think?
It's a good question. I think it's always interesting to try to figure out how those terms line up between commercial and federal customers. At the end of the day, I think everybody's looking for new, better ways to do what they do on a daily basis, right? So that to me is innovation. And it can be technology that's applied. It can be people that are applied or a process that's applied in order to be able to get that innovation. Mm-hmm. So I think, the core of the discussion and the term is very much, universal across both commercial and federal.
Are the agencies are they giving you enough information to be able to help you and your competitors solve the actual problems that they have? Or is the mobility discussion still new enough that it's still maybe a little bit of the bright, shiny object type syndrome?
Well, I like to think that based on our experience of the last 10 years leveraging virtualization technologies, that when we've been able to develop a great core and great understanding and past performances around how people use mobile computing. Traditionally, the solutions we implemented were centered around telework and virtual desktop technology for a wide variety of users. And so we've solved a lot of these problems, We figured out the security difficulties, you know, a long time ago. Now we're applying what our, you know, internal, if you will, IP that we've developed to, you know, to solutions that the federal government is looking at now. So I believe that, yeah, we can absolutely fix these things and give the federal government a great solution.
So when you talk about that problem-solving experience, and you mentioned earlier that we have all these best practices and so on to refer to, are we far enough down this road now that somebody who's just getting into the game, and there still are a fair number of agencies that are, should it be pretty clear for them to develop a strategy pretty quickly and be able to move out on a mobile strategy and deploy it pretty quickly?
Well, I think it is. I think the reason why, or some evidence that I can point to that shows that, is if you look at, for example, the Gartner Magic Quadrant around mobile device management vendors, there's roughly 90 vendors in this space that are in that Magic Quadrant, okay? 90 vendors, that speaks to a huge amount of, you know, early stage companies who are bringing out technologies, but many of the vendors that are in this space are significant multi-billion-dollar, billion-dollar organizations as well. A good place to look at, VMware is trying to get into this space. Citrix is doing a lot to try to get into this space. So some of the major virtualization vendors in the space are really kind of heating up around that. So I think we're far enough along. I think there's some great technology coming as well. And I think this is a type of an environment where you can dip your toe into the water a little bit and you can use some of the great tools that are out there now to provide some nice functionality for your end users without, you know, worrying about having to deploy the whole solution stack, if you will.
Do we need to have some kind of a structure? The parallel that I hear from time to time is a FedRAMP for mobile. Do we need a structure like that, do you think, for agencies to be real clear about what they need and how they can buy it? Or is that maybe overdoing it too much?
I think that's a little too much. I believe these solutions are like any other technology solutions that the federal government agencies are buying today. There's not a great degree of reuse capability like you would get out of a cloud environment that would be a community cloud situation. The security controls that can be put in place inside of an agency and applied inside of their firewall. So you don't have to worry about necessarily deploying it in a cloud. So you're not talking about cross boundaries. And I think the devices that people are bringing, the device itself, these mobile devices, are not necessarily intense computing platforms. They're more display and access information devices. And so the ability to be able to, you know, deploy malicious code on these devices and things of that nature is much more limited. And quite honestly, by putting a secure enclave or a secure partition on these devices, you can really do a great job of securing the information.
Is mobile already at the commodity stage, or will it be there pretty quickly, do you think? I mean, because it took cloud, you could argue, is still not there, headed that direction, and we've looked at any number of different technology advances over the years that eventually become commoditized. But, I mean, we haven't been talking about mobile and government that long, and it sounds like the way you're describing it, it's either there or almost there.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much there. Commoditization is, as I said, I mean, if you look at the number of vendors in the marketplace today, and some of these vendors, by the way, have been in this segment for quite some time. Many of these vendors entered the world trying to get in and secure email on mobile devices such as BlackBerries or Windows mobile phones or things like that years and years ago. And they did a fairly good job of securing email. Great example, DoD has, you know, millions of BlackBerries deployed. And they're using technology to secure that BlackBerry email and be able to wipe it out remotely and things of that nature. So that capability's been around for a long time. Marketplace is maturing and gaining a lot more functionality and capability. But certainly, it's very much a commodity at this point, I believe.
My guest on Industry Chatter today is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions. We'll continue our conversation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in just a moment. Thanks for listening this afternoon.
Everything is possible at Lockheed Martin, especially for veterans and those transitioning from the nation's military.
Come explore a career with a leading provider of systems, products, and services to the U.S. government. We are conducting job events for the rest of the month in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Stop in to explore careers here and overseas for cleared professionals with skills in engineering, information technology, intelligence analysis, and other areas. For event details or to chat with a recruiter, visit LockheedMartinJobs.com/WTOP, then click on events. You will join us as we recognize 100 years of accelerating tomorrow, a century of helping meet our clients' most defining challenges. Lockheed Martin, everything is possible for the careers of veterans and transitioning service members. Go to LockheedMartinJobs.com/WTOP and click on events. We are an equal opportunity employer.
Here's Thomas McCarty, Director of Identity Credentialing and Access Management Program, DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Identity Management, Progress, and Best Practices, sponsored by Quest Software by Dell.
I can see a world where I'm not carrying around a wallet full of credit cards.
Right.
I could actually use the device that I use to navigate, communicate, to actually do e-commerce. Having the same level of assurance credential on a different form factor, moving from the plastic to something like the phone is a wave of the future.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to Federal News. Radio.com.
Quest Software IT Management Solutions help you lower costs, manage risk, extend platform capability and lifecycle, and reduce the complexity of IT management. They make your mission possible, physical, virtual, and in the cloud. Quest Software is simplicity at work, and it's available through DLT Solutions. Simplify. Thrive. Quest Software. Learn more at DLT.com/mission possible. That's DLT.com/mission possible.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Open season for federal employees has officially begun. Current feds and retirees have until December 10th to make updates to their health, dental, and vision insurance plans. Feds will see a slight increase in their premiums next year, about 3.4%, according to the Office of Personnel Management, and they'll have about 230 plans to choose from. Find more information on how to enroll and change plans at federalnewsradio.com. Search open season.
WEPA. A nonprofit association has just announced another 25% premium refund. Since 1996, WEPA policyholders have received 16 annual premium refunds totaling over $65 million. WEPA also offers life insurance at rates far less than the Fegley program. Isn't it time you considered WEPA for your family's life insurance needs? For better insurance, better prices, and better value, visit WAEPA.org. That's WAEPA.org.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Friday's Federal Drive. There's no shortage of ideas for trimming the federal budget. Now, from Senator Tom Coburn, is a way of saving nearly $70 billion by cutting what he calls non-defense defense spending. Plus, the chairman of the Export-Import Bank brings us the lowdown on the bank's latest annual report and the state of small business. Those stories and more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And actually, I want to continue a conversation that we were having during the commercials, Joe. You talked about the fact that a bunch of your folks in your organization have moved to Android phones. And I asked you about the security. I keep seeing stories from time to time, Android's not as secure as iOS and all of this back and forth. And some of it could just be publicity type stuff. You never know about that. But the conversation that kind of developed during the commercials was more about overall security and some of the implications there. Tell that Starbucks app story that you were telling me during the commercial break.
Yeah, so I think the big concern that consumers and really agencies that are allowing others to, you know, their employees to bring their own devices is really around things like these consumer-based applications you might use on your endpoint device, right? So, for example, I have a Starbucks application, which I love to use. I go to Starbucks, and I can use it to pay for my, you know, for my drink when I go there. That contains credit card information at the, you know, base level, right? And some bad guy would love to have access to that, I'm sure, to be able to, you know, go charge up a bunch of stuff on it. As we adopt more and more of these consumer-based applications on that platform, it's critical that we are able to create a secure enclave, if you will, on that device or the applications that we're delivering from our enterprises have a, you know, secure wrapper wrapped around them. That's part of what mobile device management is supposed to do for agencies. So we need to make sure that our applications aren't, the enterprise applications aren't mixing with our consumer-based apps.
How far along are we in being able to ascertain that? That I know 100% that if my agency's data gets onto your, legitimately because you work for me, but if my data's on your device, that somebody who figures out a worm is not going to be able to make that worm get into the part of the phone that we've partitioned off.
Well, the good news is that we can really very easily enforce policies on those devices. If in fact the device is, we'll call it, authorized by the agency to be able to be used in their environment. And deploying these encrypted file enclaves, deploying applications that are strictly used for agency use, such as a secure browser, is very doable today. It's available out there and ready to go today. So I'm encouraged by that.
As you've spoken so far in the program about a lot of these things that agencies need to adopt strategies or to actually deploy mobile devices, you keep saying that these things are available. Are all the pieces ready to go? I mean, is there anything that still needs to be developed, that still needs to be perfected, that still is in process or any of that? Because you make it sound very optimistic.
So I'd say the framework is there and ready to go. And some of the basic core applications like secure email, secure browsing, things like that, those are ready to go off the shelf today. You can buy them. I think that the business value is going to come when agencies or whomever using these platforms, these mobile device management platforms, develop their own set of applications that adhere to these secure frameworks that they can then deliver out to the endpoint devices. Alternatively, they can use virtualization technologies to use their existing applications and deliver those out to the endpoint devices as they already work today, right? So I think the answer to your question is yes, you can adopt these and, you know, in a full-bore mode today, right? So everybody can go out and buy a mobile device management platform, apply it to their enterprise applications, apply virtualization to their applications, and be able to deliver a full complement out to their users and feel secure that they're their security policies are intact.
All right. So let's role play for a little bit. I'm going to put you on the other side of the agency industry equation. Mm-hmm. And you have seen a solution either from your Accelera or some other company that you know is the right thing for your agency. What are the holdups for you, not technology holdups, but maybe acquisition holdups or something like that, that are keeping you from being able to deploy it? And then come back over to the industry side and talk about what would be, in your view, the best way to solve those problems so that agencies can adopt this technology more easily.
Sure. First and foremost, I think one of the biggest challenges is getting over the policy of allowing a personal device to be able to intermix with enterprise, you know, or agency-based data and applications. And so we have to create policy that allows that to be able to happen. And I think there are some, you know, some great frameworks out there for that today. It's being done in many, many places already inside of the federal government. So I'm assured that is something that's been solved. I think the idea of allowing people to simply buy their own devices but not necessarily have to give them a stipend today is doable as well. Many people would much rather go out and spend their own money. So I think that's great. I think the challenge would be if I was asking the end user to replace a device that I was normally giving them, and if there was some cost that came to, you know, to the, on the agency side in order to be able to do that, getting that money into the right contract or budgeted correctly and then into the right contract type, is something that could be a bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So not technology, as you said, I agree. It's more of a policy-based thing in a procurement-type situation.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to get at there is identifying those policy challenges and then either figuring a way to go around them completely on the up and up, of course, or trying to figure out a reasonable way to change the policy in relatively short order so that agencies can start to deploy some of these strategies. It's one thing for OMB to say, go and do this. It's another thing for agencies to sit there and go, well, here's some reasons why I can't. And that policy that prevents me from doing it's older than the one that I just got, so I don't know which one I'm supposed to follow.
Yeah, I think some of these problems have been solved with other solutions. And I look at telework specifically, and I think of users being able to use their own, you know, home devices to telework, right? So that is, to a certain degree, the same thing we're asking them to be able to do with their mobile devices. It's something they own. It's something that the agency has very little control over. But the information we're delivering to that endpoint is something that the agency has a lot of control over, or can have a lot of control over. So yeah, we can use that to a certain degree to apply to this problem.
That's a pretty powerful parallel. Sean Kingsbury from Rat Board pointed that out today at an event that FCA Bethesda hosted on BYOD. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, and I'd never thought of it before. I thought it was pretty smart. But it is pretty much the same thing. He said, essentially, we're asking the employee to use his or her own stuff. And it just is different stuff that we're asking them to use and can be dealt with in a very similar way. Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions is my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll continue our industry chatter conversation in just a moment. We'll be right back.
The Commuter Info Report brought to you by Commuter Connections.
Superstorm Sandy reminds us that plans to get employees home or back to work after a natural disaster are essential for business continuity. While every emergency is unique, planning makes the difference by providing limited downtime for your customers and peace of mind for your employees. Disaster preparedness plans should include carpooling, flexible work schedules, teleworking, using transit, and bicycling and walking options for workers to consider in case of a regional emergency.
These days, keeping your money is harder than ever. Some folks are even going to extremes like freezing money in blocks of ice, storing it under mattresses, hiding it under the litter box. We'd like to suggest something different, something easier. Sign up to Rideshare and save on gas. It'll help you keep your money.
Commuter Connections provides free ride matching and commuter services in the Washington metropolitan region. Sign up at commuterconnections.org. That's commuterconnections.org or call 800-745-RIDE.
By combining HP 3PAR utility storage with HP ProLiant Gen 8 servers powered by the latest Intel Xeon processors, you can lower your total cost of ownership and improve project ROI. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how HP can power your data center into the future. Call GovConnection's experienced federal team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
We think federal employees deserve a big
extra
thanks for all their hard work. That's why at the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Service Benefit Plan, we've added benefits at no added cost, from free well child care to free immunizations. After all, you've earned them. No wonder more federal employees choose Blue Cross and Blue Shield than any other coverage. To learn more, call 1-800-411-BLUE or visit
extras.fepblue.org.
Looking for ways to help your agency help the environment? GSA has two free online resources that promote sustainability. With GSA's newly updated carbon footprint tool, you can compile your agency's annual greenhouse gas inventory and track progress toward meeting your reduction goals. And with GSA's sustainable facilities tool and green products compilation module, you can help your agency make sustainable purchasing decisions. To learn more, join the conversation today at interact.gsa.gov/sustainability.
Kids at Risk. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Unintentional injury is the leading cause of death for children in America. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, researcher Nagesh Borse says unintentional injuries account for more than 12,000 children's deaths a year. To help to prevent them, people need to know which kids are more likely to be hurt, when, and how. For instance, Borse says boys ages 15 to 19 are among kids with the highest risk of death, notably in motor vehicle crashes. He notes some ways to prevent this.
Using safety belts, wearing bicycle and motorcycle helmets, reducing drinking and driving, and enforcing graduated driver licensing.
A study on deaths of young people up to 19 years old is in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthSpeed is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Really? One website to find all government and military events happening in our area?
It's about time. Why didn't I think of that?
I know. With GovEvents.com, it's so easy to find government and military-related events happening near me and around the world. I can search by keyword, date, location, live events versus webcasts, and so much more. And best of all, it's completely free.
Seriously? I can't believe I haven't heard of this site before. What is it again?
It's GovEvents.com, the best place to find government events that matter to you, near you.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions. And Joe, we talked about a number of the things that your company does at the beginning of the show, and I mentioned how they're kind of all interwoven with each other. We've talked a lot about mobility already. One of the other things that you mentioned is continuity of operations planning, COOP planning, and we got a firsthand sample of that a week or so back when Hurricane Sandy came through this area. We're certainly still seeing the effects of that in the New York area. There are some federal offices up there that are just now getting power back or that don't even still have them back yet and are still closed. And yet, this seems to be the first big one of these where we didn't really see as much missing a beat. Federal agencies were closed here in Washington, but the general consensus seems to be that work continued as much as work could possibly continue under the circumstances, and certainly a lot more than in pre-telework days. Are you sensing that telework might be at a maturation point, at a pivotal point where people are going, yeah, this is finally okay for my people to be doing this?
I certainly think it's becoming much more accepted, or it is much more accepted now than it ever was. I do believe that the average user of a computing system in their enterprise feels like they can go home and do some degree of work from home. It might not be their full complement of applications and technologies they normally work with, but they certainly can do email all the time. They certainly feel like they can, use some basic technologies from home. I think one of the most encouraging things I saw from all this was the continuity of operations plans that were already put in place allowed, not only federal agencies but commercial organizations to, essentially move from one office to another and continue working, as you said, without missing a beat, really. I just believe, that's something that I wasn't really expecting. I thought that, seeing how this hit kind of a region, if you will, and we had such a massive, power outage situation, that we were going to see a lot more businesses be completely offline for some period of time. And very encouraging to see them be able to move to a new office and work.
We started asking around on Friday afternoon after the offices had been closed. I guess it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think. And hey, are you guys behind or are you catching up? And we didn't really hear any now, we're going on anecdotal reports. It's not a scientific survey or anything. But we didn't hear from anybody who was saying, yeah, we're swimming against the tide because we were closed for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that we talked to are attributing it to the fact that some people were able to do some work so that when people kind of got back to a normal routine as much as they could, they weren't completely starting from scratch, having been totally shut down for however long it was.
Yeah, well, the government's done a great job of enforcing data center consolidation over the last few years, and which has really kind of helped people to kind of up posture their computing environments from a data center perspective. And there was enough investment put into that where organizations, made geographic diversity decisions, and did an East Coast, West Coast kind of thing or something of that nature. So I think that, people are prepared for stuff like this now. It's not, these events aren't once every 10 years anymore, right? These events we see are now almost every year we see something like this, whether it's a big snowstorm, a hurricane, a Sandy, whatever it happens to be that comes through. These nasty things really kind of can have major impact on our organizations and the federal government. And I think we're much more prepared for them.
Well, I guess it's the old thing. If you keep practicing at something, eventually you get good at it, right?
That's right.
And
I
think
so.
We've had opportunities to practice now on a number of occasions, different forms and so on. But the same general result, which is we have to figure out how to work under adverse conditions. Do we require the continual events, or is there a way to practice these and continue to prepare for them so that hopefully they will happen less often, but we'll continue to be just as prepared for them?
Well, what I believe is that as cloud computing is adopted on a broader scale by federal agencies, that we'll be essentially working in a continuity of operations situation all the time. And so the posture will change dramatically from where it is today, even though we're in a good spot, I think. As computing resources are moved into the cloud, whatever the cloud happens to be, and you know, configured in a way such that they are automatically, you know, diversified throughout the cloud infrastructure or are in multiple clouds, users will remotely access everything. And our devices will be as you know, irrelevant as they possibly can be. Quite honestly, we will, you know, not own a whole lot of hardware anymore ourselves, right? So it'll be more of a software investment, a service investment. And so continuity of operations, it'll just be normal daily business. And so no matter where we are, we'll be able to access that remote enclave in the cloud, seamlessly.
As long as we got some juice, right?
As long as we have power. That's right. Hey, solar power works too, right?
That's true. And the sun came out fairly quickly after the storm, if I recall correctly. One of the things that came up this morning at that event that I was at was Steve Manning from the IRS talked about a kind of an unexpected effect of bring your own device there. They're starting to see people who are coming in and asking for a second license, where you've got your mobile device, you've got a phone, say, on the network. They come in and they go, can I also get my tablet on the network? And it's not something that they were anticipating. And I didn't have an opportunity to ask whether it was something that they were able to prepare for budget-wise. It sounds to me like that's a BYOD plan that's working really well, where somebody says, hey, this is so good on my phone, or this is so good on my tablet that I want to get the other one on too.
Right.
But I wonder what level of preparation agencies are making or should be making for that kind of thing.
Well, the good news is that many of the software manufacturers that are required, license-wise, that are required to be able to support this type of a situation have created mobility license schemes for their customers. Microsoft has really done a great job of overhauling their license scheme very recently for customers that are in software assurance, et cetera. Citrix and many others have also done this in order to be able to support multiple devices for one user under one license, which is really very encouraging.
That was the direction I wanted to go in, because my sense is that as this becomes more popular, as people see the productivity gains that they're supposed to get, it would be a shame if agencies said, wait a minute, we can't support this. All of a sudden, we have this many employees and we're buying three times as many licenses as we expected to up front. We certainly aren't going to spend three times as much, because it defeats the whole purpose of the campaign in the first place.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, you have to look at it from an overall cost perspective for sure, but you also have to look at it from how much additional work productivity am I getting out of the end user, right? And, you know, you don't want people to work 24 hours a day. You want them to to be able to have some personal time. What's interesting is I think we're in this kind of mode where we are life slicing, if you will. So life slicing being, we're in work mode for 5 minutes, and then we're in personal mode for 5 minutes, and then we might jump back into work mode. So out of the day, if you look at the clock and you say, this is a pie, and how many slices of this are work and how many slices are life, the goal is to create a minimal amount of effort and time between a work slice and a life slice as possible, so that an end user can very much do computing on their device, enterprise computing, and then jump into some personal stuff and be able to do whatever they want to personally with a minimal amount of disruption. That creates happy users. It creates a generational attraction for the new users that are coming into your organization, and it just overall makes a much more productive employee.
One of the things that I hear from technology leaders in government all the time is that I'm so focused on whatever it is that's on my plate for the next 12 to 18 to 24 months that I'm not able to pay as much attention as I'd like to the things that should be on my radar screen further out than that. Let's talk about that a little bit, if we can, when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions, and we'll continue our conversation in just a minute.
This week's Experts in Health topic is breast cancer detection, featuring Dr. Kathy Walcott, a family practitioner with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who was recently named top doctor in Washingtonian Magazine. She and her colleagues have achieved the best breast cancer detection rates in the nation, according to the 2012 HEDIS 2012 ranking.
Hi, I'm Dr. Walcott at Kaiser Permanente. We understand that early detection and treatment of breast cancer can increase the chance of survival, which is why Mid-Atlantic Permanente physicians of all specialties proactively review each member's electronic medical record to see when she had her last mammogram. A woman may come in for an ophthalmology appointment for an eye issue, but she could leave with her mammogram appointment in hand, often having the option to complete the mammogram in the very same medical center that day. Only Kaiser Permanente doctors from all specialties can do this. It's no surprise that we have the highest mammography screening rate in the region.
Kaiser Permanente of the Mid-Atlantic states was recently ranked number one in the entire nation for breast cancer screening in the HEDIS ranking. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctor.
The U.S. Postal Service is an agency in transition. Despite consolidation and multiple rounds of buyouts, USPS still has massive debt. Federal News Radio's November Agency of the Month program examines how USPS intends to get back on solid financial footing. In an exclusive interview, Postmaster General Patrick Donahue explains why it's critical Congress pass postal reform legislation. Find it at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Dave Wintergreen, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Department of Defense.
And so if you can come up with the outcome that everybody agrees to, the service level agreement or the performance measure, and it's visible to everyone, we focus and move in that direction. And the beauty of it is you can tell that you're making progress, so you can overcome the sort of, oh, it's not going to work, fear and distress. But also, if it's not exactly right, you have a chance to change course.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today, Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions. And I want to move to kind of the long-term view of what mobility and virtualization and bring your own device and a lot of these issues look like to you and your company. I mentioned earlier, I hear all the time from technology leaders, I'm just trying to hammer away at whatever it is that I've got in front of me, not as much time as I'd like to take the long view. If you pull back 3 to 5 years from now, and I know it's impossible to detail specific technologies, but what are the concepts, what are the big items that you think will continue to be on people's lists, or maybe aren't now, but will show up on people's lists in the next, like, 3 to 5 years, say?
Well, I think I mentioned cloud computing earlier. I think cloud is going to explode. I think if you look at some of the estimates by Gartner, that there's going to be a $100 billion industry in the next 10 years. I think that's probably true. That to me is probably the primary piece of technology and that a lot of people are going to adopt. Now, from that cloud term is very broad. What's really going to change for us is that we're going to be buying services instead of buying hardware, software, and data center space. We're going to be doing more consumer oriented, computing than we ever had before. Users, their location where they work, that will sort of blur, right? And become this, type of thing where people can kind of go from work to work anytime they want to. And it's not necessarily getting out of bed and getting in a car. You know what I mean? So those types of things will very much change, I believe, in the future. So behaviorally and the way we want to consume computing technologies, that will all change for us. So I do believe that adoption rate will happen in the next 5 years. I think it's going to be so rapid that people are going to blink their eyes and the next day they're going to see it happen. It's going to be a matter of people just being able to sort of step out into that cloud world and buy these applications that are available. I mean, a great example is the Veterans Administration just signed a huge agreement Microsoft to move all their mail to the Microsoft Mail Cloud, right? So that's the first step. It's commodity-based service. That type of thing is going to happen in a very rapid pace over the next 5 years. So I think those types of things are going to change the way we work and live. Quite honestly, that will lead us to whatever the next revolution of computing is, which may be the type of thing where everybody just uses a Slate device to interact, and that's their phone, that's their everything, right? We'll see.
A couple of things there. You mentioned that we'll see more consumer-oriented computing than ever. Is that a good thing for government, do you think, or a bad thing, or does it not matter? Is it just the way things go, the way you expect to see them go?
I think it's a good thing for everybody. And when I say consumer-oriented, I look at things, I guess from a capitalistic perspective, and I say, hey, if you put something in front of me that is lower cost and easier to use, well, I want to go in that direction. And I want to be able to quickly change and go in that direction versus being stuck with a very monolithic, application that I had to use in the past. If I'm a CIO and I have the ability to be able to be as agile as making a decision to change and moving the next day because I have a service available to me, that's where I want to be ultimately. That's how we help Accelera. We help CIOs map out their goals of where they want to, business goals and where they want to be in the next 5 years, and be able to apply technology sets to that, and then create a technology roadmap for them to be able to adopt these technologies over the next year, few years, 5 years, and be able to pick the low hanging fruit with the highest business impact that can be implemented for the lowest cost. To be able to get some great internal agency buy-in for these types of things. We've had some great success with this offering, and many people have began to adopt mobile device management technologies through this type of a technology roadmap solution. Virtual desktop in the cloud, for example, a great example of where people are adopting for this as well.
Will a lot of the changes that you think will happen be driven by the end user? It seems to me that the whole BYOD thing, the whole mobility piece, was driven primarily by people coming into the office and saying, hey, I want to be able to use my whatever, fill in the blank, at work as much as I do at home. I'm very productive in this other environment, and I can see the productivity gains that are possible here. Do you think that will continue, or do you expect to see us move back to the model that was probably prevalent for the entire computing age up until the last couple of years, which is we're the computing gurus and we know where the next big thing is going to be, and we will take you there?
Well, I think I would love to believe that the voice of many caused everyone to change the way they want to compute, but the reality, I believe, is it's all cost driven. I think that agencies are trying to figure out ways to be innovative and reduce cost. And we talked about this earlier in the conversation. It's, what can I do to wring a couple extra dollars out of my budget? And if BYOD is that program that I can implement, then I want to put it in place because, oh yeah, by the way, it's a huge win for my users because they'll love me for it. Right, so we just happen to be in a spot where the cost reduction and technology requests and the way users want to compute are beginning to collide, and so we're in this really, really great spot for innovative CIOs to be able to take a couple of risky steps, if you will, if you want to call it that, into areas that are non-traditional computing methods. And so, the users want it. It's potential cost savings, and in many cases, it's absolute cost savings.
You put together a couple of threads there that I want to tie together to wrap up when we come back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter, and we'll wrap up our conversation in just a minute.
Life is long and filled with challenges. Navigating these can be difficult, but it doesn't have to be. Hi, this is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 133 years, AFMA has been leading military personnel through difficult times to a more secure future by offering the right products and services at the right time for the best price. Our low-cost life insurance and personal approach allow us to help you plan wisely and feel comfortable that your family will be taken care of. Our unparalleled survivor assistance services will allow your family to take a deep breath and relax, knowing we'll take care of everything. When you choose AFMA, you choose a partner who will provide guidance, simple solutions, and personalized care. Our life insurance policies are available to all members of the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard.
For a free life insurance quote, call a membership coordinator at 1-877-398-2263 or find us online at AFMA.com today. That's AAFMAA.com.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
I think the natural progression for something like a broker is going to be within the community, as well as more generic or more general hybrid cloud type. So my point of saying that is we all realize that based on a mission affinity, whether that mission affinity is national security or energy management or public safety, there's an affinity for these cloud components, multiple disparate cloud components to be connected together. This is going to lend itself to a multi-cloud model, and the multi-cloud brokering model is likely to have brokers connected to brokers.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword VMware.
Hey, federal employees, choose the plan we believe is altogether better for your health. Kaiser Permanente. Get the inside story on better care. Join a Kaiser Permanente physician for a complimentary Fed webinar scheduled most Wednesdays through December 5th. Go to kp.org/midatlantic to register for a webinar on Kaiser Permanente federal benefits. That's kp.org/midatlantic. Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States, Inc., 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
GW Women's Basketball hosts Georgetown in a thrilling battle for D.C. supremacy on Saturday, December 1st at 4 p.m. at the Charles E. Smith Center in Foggy Bottom. It's the Colonials' annual Buff Out March, so make sure to wear your buff as the Colonials work to win a George versus George battle. Tickets are on sale now for just $12, and special group discounts are available. Raise high the buff and blue today. Call 202-994-7325 or visit gwsports.com/tickets.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joe Brown of Accelera Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter today. I mentioned that there have been a number of threads that we have that I'd like to tie together to wrap up our conversation, Joe. They all have to do with things that you've said, especially in the last segment, that don't really have much to do with technology. You talked about how people react to these changes behaviorally, how they perform differently because of them. You mentioned the advantages that somebody in a leadership role will have when they give opportunities to their employees. What do you recommend to agencies and to leaders who are making these changes, and not just traditional change management stuff, but thinking about the cultural aspect, thinking about the behavioral aspect for making some of these changes and deploying them in a way that employees will buy into them and want to cooperate and want to really get on board and participate?
Well, you know, I think like any great leader who runs an organization, whether it's a federal organization or commercial or whatever it happens to be, you want to create an organization that has a fantastic culture, because that creates loyalty, and it also creates high performance. There's many, many studies that have been done around a group of employees who are very loyal to their organization, who have a fantastic culture to work in, perform much, much better than people who are disgruntled and, quite honestly, not interested in their jobs. And so as a leader, part of your mission, or your biggest mission, I think, should be making sure that you create this type of a culture. I think giving your employees choices around things like computing platforms, giving them the opportunity to be able to work from home, doing things to accommodate their, very busy lifestyles, if you will. I mean, we all have them around here, right? It really creates a ton of loyalty, and it builds a culture inside of your organization that ultimately improves your performance. And so I think that's key to all this.
Do you think a lot of agencies factor that into when they're trying to develop and deploy these strategies, or is that does that get lost in the shuffle sometimes?
I believe that more often that's thought of than what people would think. You know, I think that many, many times – you know, the folks who run these agencies, these CIOs, these people sit down with their family at night and have dinner, and they want to be able to allow their employees to do the same thing, right? And that's a very, you know, sort of basic way to think about it. But these people are all human, and they believe that, I think, at the end of the day, if they can create an environment that is comfortable for people to be able to work in, that they are going to ultimately have a great place to work.
As you look over and think back on all the things that we've talked about today, what is the part of this that you think that you think that agencies are struggling with the most, and what's the fix for the struggles that they're having in that particular area?
Well, with regards to cloud, I think the adoption of cloud is people are struggling with that because there's a huge amount of fear of moving your information offsite. There's fear that the infrastructure that you're putting your data into, it isn't going to be as secure or highly available as your existing infrastructure is. I think those are simple things to get over by just doing a little bit of research and study and see what people are already doing in the cloud environment. Mobile device computing and allowing people to bring their own devices. There's tons of industry data out there to support that as being a really very successful program in many, many places. And so I think it's a matter of sort of taking a little bit of a leap and saying, well, if they can do that there, I can do it here. It's not a technology problem. I think policies are out there to be able to support this stuff. As you said, and we talked about earlier, if you want to find a way to the end game, you can make it there. It's a matter of having the desire to actually make that goal happen.
I mentioned at the beginning of the program that you have been on the program before. One thing that has changed since the last time you were here is that you've joined the Daddy Club.
I have.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir. I'm very happy. I had a daughter born in September. Her name is Savannah, and she's great.
It's the best club in the world to belong to, and I welcome you to it. It's good to see you again, Joe.
Thanks, sir.
Coming in today. Joe Brown is with Accelera Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can hear my conversation with him archived later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose is coming next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.